much where you lived and what the community was like. Now, you've talked to Mr. Fuller. He was in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you're talking to me, and I was north of Athabasca,
mm-hmm.
and in the North Country. Now, food, clothing, the community itself, the way of life they were used to, is so vastly different in those two places, don't you
see? Yeah, I see what you mean.
Now, you should try and get someone from a big city, too, because the in some ways, the depression was much harder on people in the city because they didn't know how to do anything. They couldn't do anything for themselves except get a job and earn a living.
Mm-hmm.
They can't go out and plant some extra potatoes and,
yeah.
and that type of thing, you see. All right, for us out in the country, it was much easier that way. We could raise food. We could hunt for our meat. We were north of the 55th parallel. You could hunt for meat any time of the year. There was no game law if you were using the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And we, another thing, the city people had don't work together the same way that country people do, and particularly the people in the north. The elements are so harsh in the North Country that people up there just automatically work together. If a rainstorm's coming up and you know that Joe Blow hasn't got his hay in, everybody in the community gets over there to help him get it in before the rain comes. It's just an automatic thing. It's against the, well, certainly I don't think there was any legislated law, but it was just an unwritten law in the house. You must not lock a house. You might cause the death of someone. If someone's going through in one of those dreadful cold spells and is lost or something and comes upon your cabin, I don't care if it's a cabin you only use in the summer, it must not be locked, and it must be stocked with something to save a life. Don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right, when we live in that kind of country anyway, then the effects of the Depression are not nearly so great on us in some ways. But in other ways, it's much worse because we need more clothing than the people in the South need.
Yes.
Don't you see?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the people in the South have their citrus fruits. It's a great problem in the North, you know, depression or no, to have your get your vitamin foods in the winter. Your winters are so long. Your sunshine is so limited.
So, like, what did you do for vitamins and that?
Mm-hmm. Well, we picked wild berries and canned
mm-hmm.
in the summer, like raspberries, blueberries, cranberries, highbush cranberries, choke cherries, pin cherries, that type of thing. But you can't raise apples up there even, let alone oranges and so forth.
Yeah.
We canned, and certainly during the Depression, you had no deep freezers or refrigerators or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
You have a deep freeze in the north, of course, all winter. Mm-hmm. We used to kill our moose and just hang it by a pulley to a tree, you see, so the dogs and wolves couldn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the deep freeze.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want a piece of meat, though, it's a little bit difficult. You go out and let down your pulley and you take the great axe or saw and wonk off something, don't you see, and go in and prepare a meal from it. And it was a great bother to try to keep your vegetables, potatoes, beets, and that sort of thing from freezing.
Mm-hmm.
We made lots of sauerkraut for our vitamin C source.
Mm-hmm.
We could raise very good cabbages in the winter.
The cabbage can grow in the winter then, eh?
No, no. You grow it in the summer.
Yeah.
But in the winter, you've got it sliced up. You don't cook cabbage, you see.
Mm-mm.
You just pack it in salt, and it makes sauerkraut.
Oh.
So that there was some vitamin in it. Canned spinach and that type of thing in the summer. And we couldn't raise tomatoes, but that was one of the few things I always had on my shopping list, was to buy canned tomatoes. I was raising children. But for the food now. All right, I was working as a teacher, but the district couldn't pay me. They couldn't pay their taxes. They just simply couldn't. They hadn't any money. There was no way for them to get any money. So the only salary I got for 5 years, I was in one district, and the only salary I got was when the government grant came. I got $183.50 every April, $183.50 every October, period. Now that was a 5 year period, it was just like that. Well, you shopped then twice a year, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You had to buy your clothing out of that. I was raising two children. You had to buy your clothing and you had to buy what food you couldn't scrounge from the countryside. Well, you certainly had to buy salt and spices. We didn't buy much sugar because it was cheaper. For $3.50, I could buy a hive of bees from California every spring. A farmer would sharecrop, raise the bees for me, and we'd go halves on the honey. And bees, those same bees that in California produce about 50 pounds a year, they have a little magic mechanism within them that tells them this is going to be a long, cold winter. I don't know how they know it. But they produced at least 300 pounds of honey a year.
Wow.
So we'd have 150 pounds of honey. Mind you, that can get very tiresome. You bake cakes with honey. You can your blueberries with honey. You know, that type of thing. So you do buy a little sugar if you can.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you've got to buy clothing. All right, but I was in a farming community. Every weekend, every summer, I would help the farmers. I worked in the wheat fields and stooped wheat. I helped them plant potatoes and dig potatoes and weed gardens and all that sort of thing, haul hay in the summer. So that they always planted enough for us too, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't buy potatoes or beets or carrots or turnips, and I hope I never see another turnip. It was the only crop we had 1 year. That kind of thing we did not have to buy.
Mm-hmm.
Now as a teacher, you lived in a small little shack on the school ground called a teacherage. We lived there for free, of course.
Uh-huh.
But it had nothing in it. It was a little log house. It was plastered with mud because no one could afford cement to plaster.
Mm-hmm.
The people there made it. And it was plastered with mud, and it was unfurnished.
Did it hold though through the winter?
Pardon?
Did it hold through the winter?
Oh, certainly. You spent your. It was a log house. It's a good house.
Mm-hmm. But it was cold though, wasn't it?
Oh, both of my children, while they were tiny babies, have had the experience of having the milk freeze in the bottle before they finish drinking the bottle. It was cold, lots of 65 below. But this teacherage was unfurnished, all right. My father-in-law was an ex-army man and he had several army cots around. I got a couple of army cots. I built a crib for my children and for my own son. We used orange boxes, lots for cupboards and that type of thing. It was your dressing table, it was your kitchen covering. I helped the farmer put a binder together because he couldn't, this was a Polish-Ukrainian settlement and most of the adults couldn't even write to be English, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I read the instructions, helped him put the binder together, he gave me the binder case that had come in. I built a desk for the school. The school was unfurnished too. It was a log house, plastered with mud. I built a desk for the school. I built a table for the house. For chairs, we cut off tamarack block and you'd roll your old block around and sit down. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could manage to do cupboards and things like that. I could buy an airtight heater at that time for $3. I had one. Can't do all your cooking on that. You certainly had to bake your own bread. I mean, my first school was 52 miles from the village. My second one was 27. So you don't just run in and buy a loaf of bread, even if you had money. sold for the stove then, for the cook stove, we found in the dump a metal top. It had two little holes for lids, and it was quite a good size square metal, like 18 inches square. We used that for a stove top. This lady built a mud stove. It was heavy clay soil. We found a few little irons that she could put across for a grate.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a place there. We found a couple of old stove doors that didn't match the stove, but didn't matter. They, you know, was quite different. But we found metal we could use for stove doors. And so we rigged up a little firebox under this and plastered with mud and a mash box. Plastered, or just built a mud square all around it. Then on the stovepipe, at that time, I don't even know if you know how stovepipe goes, but it's just metal things like that, you know,
mm-hmm.
around on each end. All right, you could buy one that had a little oven. It was called a drum oven. Now, it looked like this. There was your drum oven, a little shelf across.
Oh.
The shelf was a little lower across. It was just a round thing, and it was double in size, you see.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now the smoke came in here. You put this right next to your stove.
Mm-hmm.
The smoke came in here and it went around here and it went out there.
Oh,
then
I see.
Then your next stove pipe fastened on that, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the heat, if you put this close enough to the stove, the heat just surrounded your little drum.
Mm-hmm.
You had to bake one little bread at a time, but you baked bread, you baked cakes and your cookies and something else.
Mm-hmm.
So that was our stove. It was hard times. It's awfully hard to think in our day and age. I don't know how you can imagine this. But lots of times I couldn't write to my mother at the end of the month when the mail went out because I hadn't got a 2 cent stamp. And it cost 2 cents at that time to mail a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't got 2 cents. Now, it's just hard to think of those times, isn't it? But they were there. And yet, the thing about it was, I bought some eggs. Sometimes farmer, in the summer, you didn't buy eggs. The chickens laid well. But in the winter, I bought some eggs. But they were 5 cents a dozen. And butter was 5 cents a pound. You had to buy butter. I didn't have to buy milk.
Was there no, like, neighbors that raised cows?
Yeah,
and
you
things?
Bought it from them.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. That's where you bought it. But they all had a market for these things. And if they had a market for something, they'd have to sell, wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So the things that for which they had a market, I paid for them. Eggs, butter, and milk. Mm-hmm. But milk was 5 cents for syrup can. People didn't have bottles. If you had bottles, you could put jelly in them. Syrup. Have you ever seen a Rogers golden syrup thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, a gallon of that cost me 5 cents. Mm-hmm. And then lots of people raise sheep in the community too. And if you go and help people, they're quick to help you back. There was one crippled man in our community who couldn't go out and work in the field. He learned to knit. He'd spin the wool with he made a spool. And he'd just spin that spool and do this and then wind it up and give it a spin and pull the wool,
mm-hmm.
and make it into yarn, and then he knit stockings for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was helping out that...
Oh, and then you were talking about how life was in the community. You know, a depression has an awful lot of good with it as well as bad. There's a gain for every loss.
Mm-hmm.
Because certainly no one had a radio, no one had a television, hadn't been invented. The school was the center of social activity. If there was a dance of any kind, it was in the school. Everyone got just as busy as he could be to play any instrument he could, and if he couldn't do any better than he would come with do this, just be a beautiful drummer if you can. I'm not so good, but you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, you could play the spoon, but you couldn't do anything better.
That's a new, I've never seen that before.
I know, because you learn that in the Depression. So, in any community, there were always two or three people who could play a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one or two who might play a guitar if they had one. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't, they made one.
Mm-hmm.
One fellow took a cheese box he got from the store, stretched a moose hide over it, and made drums. And so he made his guitar. We just didn't have the appropriate wood. We did have good birch in that area. He made a guitar. It started out with a baseboard back or something, because, you know, it takes a long time to make a guitar. It takes some expertise and it takes some tools to put together anything that we can put strings on and play. And if anyone had an instrument, and then, yeah, all right, you have to dance and everybody comes. Children and all, you didn't have such things as babysitting.
Yeah.
Whatever you did, everyone went. We used to put the desks. Now, there were, these were homemade, but there was a desk there, isn't there? And then down here is the seat to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the desk is. And here's the seat for the next one, right? All right. All these were put around the wall with the desk to the wall. Now, little children who got too sleepy. Oh, babies were put here.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people were sitting around here. Babies were put there on the desk. Mm-hmm. Then the little children that were, you know, school, grade one, you know, up to a certain age, they'd get tired of this after a while because the dance would go on sometimes in the morning. Now, they could crawl under there to sleep on the floor.
Oh, yeah.
Parents always brought blankets, so they could sleep there. And the dancing was out here, of course, so all the children were safe. Our stove in the school was a big oil drum, cut a door and a place for pipes and put wood in it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Someone had been quite ingenious and built a little side, like if that's our big oil drum, it fixed something over here and had a little flattened thing. So we'd bring in the clothes wash boiler. Someone had a washing machine, of course. You had a tub and a washboard, and you washed your laundry that way. And then you had a boiler. It was kind of an oval thing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you set it on the stove and boiled the clothes in it. Well, we always had to wash out the wash boiler and put it here to build a coffee and so on. And then when we didn't have coffee, fine, we just cracked up some wheat, poured some molasses on it, baked it in our oven, and used it for coffee.
Oh, I've never heard of that recipe before.
And then we'd all, and then everyone would bring a lunch from home,
mm-hmm.
and then we'd pool them all together. So people usually came after chore time, say about 9 o'clock, the dance would start. We'd all just take turns. Everybody played so everybody could dance, and then somebody else would go and play for a while, and everybody else would dance. And then about midnight, we'd stop the coffee, and some of the older ladies would always have the coffee ready. Then we'd either put all our sandwiches or what we brought together. Sometimes one of our fundraising things to get money for the Christmas concert was to have what we called a basket sale. You brought your lunch in a basket and they were all auctioned off. Gosh, if any went for 25 cents, that was terrific. You know, but you'd raise a few dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have something to get things you wanted to, your children put on a Christmas concert. You see, your students, that was part of your education. But it was also one of the major entertainments you did here.
And did the government supply the books and things like that for the school?
Readers only, period.
That's it?
That's it. And in ever so many schools that I went into, the teacher didn't have money to buy textbooks, but I started out with one set of textbooks for everything in school, and that was all there was in our library for ever so long, apart from the readers. Pencils and papers, that's what we used to give for Christmas presents. After we'd had two or three functions like this and raised all the money we could for the Christmas concert, then Santa Claus always came and each child in school got some kind of present. Okay, 1 year they all got toothbrushes because I attacked the Red Cross boldly and said these kids have no facilities in their homes and they need toothbrushes. There was a radio lady called Mrs. Conquest. She was on the radio for the Red Cross for years and years and years. She just got busy and put out a call and she said, this was a big school because I had 10 grades and 45 students in one classroom. And I was the only Jew. Mm-hmm. So she just got me 45 toothbrushes like nothing. Every kid got a toothbrush. That meant the money I used could buy a little bit of candy and maybe pencils or scribblers. You know what your children needed. They needed pencils and crayons or scribblers. That was all the fun.
I see. But it just readers, the government gave you then, eh, for school?
If I,
just readers?
Just readers. And there wasn't even any blackboard in this school. The district school supplied things like that. Well, the district simply couldn't. Wasn't any blackboard. With my first paycheck, I sent to Timothy Eaton's catalog and got a roll of slated cloth. And you just tacked it and stretched it out, and it was flopsy and wopsy, but you could write on it like a blackboard. And it was terrible because it was a log wall behind it. To your mind, they used the logs and they plastered it the best they could with mud, but it's certainly not like it.
How did you erase it, like?
You had to just get cloth and water, really, to, you know, you had to wipe it.
That would you do that every night before,
well,
and then let it dry through the night?
We worked out all kinds of systems because, for instance, if you're putting up arithmetic, all right, here's the problem we've written on the board. So that was your arithmetic problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm talking about grade 5, I suppose. All righty, now tomorrow, instead of erasing that and putting up another one, I'd go over here and make that into a 4.
Oh, I see.
You see, now I have, this is written in my little notebook. I had today's answer there. Now I have tomorrow's answer here. So I did this every weekend, not every week. Now, on this is Monday and Tuesday, isn't it? On Wednesday, I made that into a 9. And there's Wednesday's answer there.
I see what you mean.
And I
now
had a green one or something, and then on Thursday you make that into a 6. And by Friday you might have to erase one thing you might erase the 2 and put a 3 there or 5 or something.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So that. I didn't, I only once a week I put all the work on the board.
Hmm.
Great way for me, you know, doing these things. The wages for men who could get work at that time, and few of them could, but wages were 10 cents an hour, and you had to work a 10-hour day at least, so you could make $1 a day. But that wasn't all fun. You had to support yourself out of that too, you know. You didn't have one of these jobs where you went to a bunkhouse and somebody fed you and supplied you with tools and equipment and paid you at the end of it. Nothing like that at all. You had to get to work and get home from work, and if it was quite a ways away, and usually it was.
Mm-hmm.
But you certainly had to find your place to live and prepare your own food.
How could they do it though, you know?
Well, you became very ingenious. You worked out ways of doing things, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
That I tell you the truth, if you were shoved right into the middle of that knockout, you'd probably starve to death before you got going. Don't you see? But that's why it was much harder, even though the least that I know of anyone having received for their wages in Vancouver was $15 a month. That person was probably poorer than I was. don't you see? Mm-hmm. Probably poorer than I was. And I was supporting four people on $15 a month. And hiring a housekeeper for not $15 a month. What did I get? $183.61. About $30 a month. And I paid a housekeeper, but I could hire a housekeeper for $5 a month. Because my children were visiting.
Yeah.
And she said, and she told me, I said, I'm really sorry about this, but that's all I can afford. And she said, I know, I figured it out, I'm making more money than you are because you're feeding me.
Yeah.
I'm getting $5 in my board and room and everything.
Hmm.
It was good times and bad times. It was good times in that we all worked together. People had to have a sense of humor to survive.
Yeah.
And we learned to do so many things for fun that you have no idea. We learned all these little tricks too. You should have seen my baby cradle. Ted took four boards and built a square like that. Four boards, looking at it sideways, that's one side, there's the end, don't you see?
Mm-hmm.
And it was about like that. I took a piece of moose skin, nailed it here, and made a bag down under like that, nailed it over there, closed in the ends, and just stitched around here with the ends closed in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, don't you see that I've got a moose hide basket, haven't I?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then I put a bail on each end with wire, because that's all I could find. And I had, that's all, just a bail on each end like that. Now then, all over my ceiling, I had hooks made out of spikes, hooked into the ceiling, you see? And I'd put a snap on here,
mm-hmm.
a strap with a snap on it. Everybody had a harness, you see?
Yeah.
And a ring on that end. I could hook that to the ceiling any place in my house.
Oh,
the housekeeper had the baby in that while I was in school, and she had it out in the kitchen by the stove and everything, and she could reach out and give it a little push, and she could rock away. So see, at night I hung that right over my bed, and that the snaps were right there. Okay, when that little thing woke up in the night, I had its milk in a bottle under my pillow.
Mm-hmm.
It's but hot water with the sugar formula in it, in thermos. Diapers folded up and in bed with me to keep them warm.
Mm-hmm.
She just barely squirmed. You just sit up, and before you could say boo, I had a dry diaper on that, dropped that in the freeze, and bottle shoved in his little mouth. Just give that a push and lie down and go to sleep. And he's as happy as a clap.
Oh, wow.
I keep thinking of things like that, Stu, because of necessity.
Mm-hmm.
And they get things, you ever so many things, don't you?
Yeah.
And honey. Oh. Ways of getting the kids to eat honey, because you get so sick of any one thing. Okay, at my 6 months, I always bought canned cocoa. We'd have one jar of honey with chocolate mix, and I bought powdered milk. Because they needed milk badly, and
mm-hmm.
I didn't have time. My great thing of powdered milk and a thing of chocolate and a thing of peanut butter. Good. One of them would be chocolate and powdered milk mixed with honey. One would be pure honey. Then there's powdered milk and honey only. Then there's chocolate and powdered milk and honey. And then there's peanut butter and powdered milk and honey. Don't see it. Well, you got four jars of jam. Take your choice. Like building the stove, don't you see? I'm amused sometimes when I go to visit the hippie friends, because they think they're right back to the basics. For goodness sake, they've all got a stove.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And ever so many of us, when we first built a house, hadn't got the money to buy glass, even though a dollar would buy a really good window. Just didn't have the dollar. So the Indian people were very, very good at this. But when they killed an animal, they'd take long membranes of stuff from the inside of a moose, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Probably skin off the outside of intestines and stuff, and stitch them together.
And use it as... Oh, yeah. I know what the stuff you mean now.
There was so many women did that.
Hmm.
And the Indians were very good, too, because they were so adept at tanning hides. I had never yet learned to tan a hide. They'd tan these hides, and you could buy a good pair of moccasins for 25 cents. You could do a little beadwork on them. Well, I can't think of anything else. What else should I... Let me see what I wrote down. About the schools, the recreations, and what we earned. It's quite a bit about the homes and life in the community. The three great days of the year were the four, really. Sometime in the after harvest, we'd have a school function to raise money for the Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
Then there was the Christmas concert, which was a great thing for the people. Every little Johnny in school was doing something, and some schools it was easier than in others, but you always had an entertainment. Then it was followed by a dance, you see. Okay, then in the spring of the year, just after the crops were in, we had sports day.
Oh, yeah.
That mm-hmm. was a great thing. And to come from, you know, the next school, the nearest school to us was 14 miles. And either we'd go to their school or they'd come to ours, or usually both. They'd have sports day later than us or something, you see. And you just got a bunch of farmers with lumber wagons, great wagons, and all the kids piled in. And probably three wagon load would take all 45 of us, and we'd go to that 14 miles. We had to start about 6 in the morning to get there in time to have a sports day, then a picnic, you see, and,
mm-hmm.
and come home afterwards. The other thing was before sports day. Sports day, no, came at the end of the year.
The
you
end?
Know, in June.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Aha. And just after harvest, we'd have another school function of some kind. A dance or a party or a play or all of them to raise money for sports day.
Oh, I see.
And we were very limited in our sports. When we had high jump, we certainly hadn't got hits and this and that. We found a reasonably smooth piece of land and took binder twine from some farmer, and we'd mark a stick off in inches, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Two people would try to hold the binder twine tight. People would come running along and jump over it, what have you. The broad jump, just started to just line and land where you can. There was no bit, nothing like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we had foot races. Then you do the for fun things like an egg and a spoon race, and you know, all the people, men, women, children, the works. We had everyone. But our only game thing was a softball, because at one of these fundraising things we raised enough to buy one softball.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It lasted for 5 years because we beat the stuff. Nobody had a bat. You went to the bush and trimmed you up a branch on your own. Everybody had his own. And then you'd bat the stuffings out of that. It was a cheap one anyway. Or the threads would break. You'd sew it up again. When the stuffings went out, oh, we went through the greatest bunch of experimenting there. What do you wind up to fill it with again? We tried sawdust, and it took two bats and sawdust to slime all over it, you see. And then we tried binder twine. It was so heavy and so lumpy that you couldn't knock it any place. We finally ended up, someone had a little tennis ball thing about yay round.
Mm-hmm.
And then we wrapped string around and around that. We had a little bit of binder to it.
I see.
Mm-hmm. But we used that same ball for 5 years. You just stitch it up again. So it didn't cost much. you had to have your sports activities that kind of didn't require equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Really,
one school by a lake with swimming races, you know, with our sports school, all kinds of water sports as well as some ball games and what have you. And then all these things were always followed by dance. And midnight, when midnight had come, and we'd sit down to have your lunch, then people would entertain. Anyone that knew a good recitation would get up and recite. Sometimes a pair of people would get up and sing a song, you know, not dancing songs, but any kind of song like that. Anything people had, stunts for fun or any kind, barbecue, would do that then for an hour and then clear it all up and go dancing again. And there was pleasure in it. You know, in that north country where things are far apart, I've had trappers come in 75 miles with a dog trained for sports day or for the Christmas concert.
Oh.
You know, trappers way out in the bush,
mm-hmm.
in their own little cabin. They take nothing. Getting their dogs hitched up and coming 75 miles might take them 3-4 days.
Huh. Gee, then that was one of the biggest things in the year, right?
Well, you sure. And the things we'd have to do in school to get, I had some grade 9 and 10 students. I was supposed to be teaching 8, 9, and 10 home ec. I don't even know home ec myself, but we just built us a mud stove right out in the yard and we picked rose hips and made jelly and that sort of thing. Our cakes didn't turn out so well, but we did it anyway. And then the boys were supposed to have shop, don't you see? Well, the darndest things we did. Another thing we did was hook rugs. We raffled these things.
Mm-hmm.
The boys made a actual little lumber wagon, covered wagon. It was in a study of the Pioneer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know it, but we were pioneers too. But we built the covered wagon, and they had it really lined up. Then they got a little old coping saw, and we only had one, but we had a bunch of blades. And so two of them would take pliers and go on each side and use a bare blade. They cut out the teams of horses. They made the actual harness for them. But the farmers just step by step fixed it to the wagon and raffled it. We built a bunch of the boys built a spinning wheel. We had no such thing as a lathe. And those kids with that stupid coping saw and the wheel they cut out and grooved it, jackknives, everything else. We built a spinning wheel. It worked. They could spin wool on it. And the girls hooked rugs. We'd just take old burlap sacks and stretch them. And I took a bunch of nails, a little smaller than this, and the nails pointed, but two pointed. We smoothed that end, you know, with the grindstone, much stone and sandpaper.
Mm-hmm.
Then I filed a notch in it. So you push your thing through, hook your little loop on it, and pull it up through, move on to the next one. We couldn't afford to buy wool for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we used leftover things. We found that particularly stretchy things, you know, jersey-type knitted things were very, very good. We could get the gayest colors. They did a round rug, and they made a big Dutch windmill on it. Things. We had somebody's green pajamas like mine. And they got all cut up to be grass. We'd throw little colors in here. We had tulips. We had a beautiful blue, somebody's nightie. It was a nice, lovely shade of blue. It got to be sky. We threw some white in for a few clouds, you see. And then a lady took it home. We had no sewing machine at school, but a lady took that home and stitched her husband's worn out corduroys. She cut off enough to put a border around it, you know, so it wouldn't rattle on.
Mm-hmm. Jeez.
It was a beautiful rug. It took a lot of doing. Well, those are things, and games to play when it, all right, the weather is just dreadful, and there's it's very difficult to get outside and to do anything. Those kids can come up with more, you know, people from home, more games to play in the schoolhouse than you can shake a stick at. And our schoolhouse was very crowded. But, you know, games you can play without tearing the place apart. And then, of course, if the weather was right, we used to have all kinds of snow games. Fox and Goose, I can't remember all the snow games. Certainly snow forts and even snowballs at each other, that type of thing. And we had ever so many games like that, but are darn good fun. I don't care. You wouldn't call them developing you athletically, but they certainly developed you socially and your creativity. And lots of singing games too for inside. Well, those are good things about depression.
Mm-hmm.
You lose your ingenuity.
Yeah.
So as I say, there's nothing so bad if there isn't some good with it. No one in our community ever starved to death. People weren't hungry sometimes. A fellow came in from a homestead from over across the creek. He didn't have a wife or family. He just a new immigrant. Somebody asked him how he's getting along, and he said, "Oh, good. I now have galushki twice a day, and every second day with grease." Galushki is flour and water and salt, boiled. You make a dumpling of it. They're the hardest things I've ever eaten in my life. Tough, but you can mix flour and water and salt together and then drop it in a boiling pan of water and boil them, and it's food. He could now have galushki twice a day, and every second day he could raise a little grease to put with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
It was hard. Sometimes when the times were worst of all, that's just when you couldn't find a moose or a deer to save your life. You know, you went hunting every night after school and went hunting every weekend, and there wasn't an animal in sight. Most of the time, you get rabbit. You used the skin to put inside the children's feet.
Mm-hmm.
You stretch the skin over a board, it dries, and then you just cut off. If you were a poor skinner, I want the meat bits on it, you cut off the leg ends and that. But you always end up with a sort of good thing to put inside shoes. But I'm sure that the effects of it on health were not good in many instances. We did go without food we needed. My children don't know that the depression had a bad effect upon them at all. They were, as far as they were concerned, they were as well off as any other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they all had fun. They thought it was great. They never went hungry. I can't think of it. Unless you can think of the questions left.
No, I think you've covered everything. Yeah.